We are one day away, buddy. Real baseball just around the corner. I mean, the Dodgers and Padres series was the technical start of the season, them playing that series in Seoul, Korea. But it was a 7 a.m. get up. And that was the Atlantic time zone. So I think the rest of Canada, it was even more difficult to watch. You know, like that's 4 a.m. your time, buddy. And as much as bad at sleeping you can be sometimes,
It's not happening.
that's a little early. So I'm so excited, man. Baseball starts 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, Mountain Time, 1 Eastern time. Look at me doing time zone math here on the fly, buddy.
So
Just
nice, nicely done.
rolling with it. It's being back in the podcast studio, right?
Great in the rhythm. I love it.
Reading the rhythm. Yeah. So the Blue Jays game is 4 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Mountain. A lot of people are upset about that time. I know I was reading Twitter, Blue Jays Twitter, not very happy with the timing, right? A lot of people work day jobs, but guess what? Nothing is better than an afternoon game for a comedian who has shows at night and the whole day off, not to brag. Lots of interaction from you folks, but it was all pretty much the same stuff. So we've kind of pared it down to the main points. Everyone's just waiting around for the real baseball to start at this point. So mailbag, a little bit lighter on the questions, even though there were a lot of comments. We amalgamated everything into to streamline this. That's what this walk-off year is all about. 2024, we're streamlined. Okay, none of this wandering off the path anymore. We're focused. There's no way that we'll get derailed. Can
Yeah,
reach
no.
out on Twitter. Go ahead, buddy.
No, I'm just trying to derail you. So,
Yeah, of
success.
course. You can reach out on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast. The Patreon, you always get that bump priority. Feel free to join the Patreon. You get MLB Mondays as your extra little bit of content. You can join our writing sessions on Wednesday for Around the Horn. And of course, instant access to all of our interviews and to Discord and Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast. Feel free to shoot us a DM. We do try our best to get to all of your interactions and comments. We do appreciate the comments on YouTube as well. And of course, try to get to those. And on that, it is a ML our Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon, done here Wednesday afternoon.
Couldn't get any cleaner than that.
That's right.
Where do we start here then? Well, Mark on Patreon kind of echoed what you were saying about the Thursday game, so we'll start with this one. More of a comment than a question. Season opener scheduled for 4 on a Thursday. Fuck you, Major League Baseball. Fuck you. That is from Mark. So
That echoes
actually
that sentiment. Let's move your
covers.
mic a little closer here, bud. I was just we're I get comments all the time.
No,
There you go.
what it is I had it off to the side and I was leaning forward and I'm past my, I
Ah.
think that's what it is. So I've got to just, yeah, I got like a new setup in my office here, and that's
Yeah.
really what it is it's as soon as I go here, now you can't hear me. So there we go. It's covered. So
Okay.
I just gotta stay where I'm supposed to
This
be.
is part of the streamlining. This is the focus I was
Streamlining,
talking about. There we go.
focused, hashtag attention to the details. All right. Lauren on Patreon says congrats to Francis Beaudin for making the team. So Francis Beaudin, the
Yeah.
nickname is catching on, Scott. Well done.
It's happening. It's
It's happening.
happening.
It's happening.
Gary Gausman and Francis Beaudin, two of
There
our
you go.
best.
Two of our best. All right. Bailey on Twitter messaged us, "Hey guys, hoping to get on mailbag. So the final big free agent out there is finally signed. It's crazy to me. Jordan Montgomery got 0 term, 1 year, $25 million with the Diamondbacks. Do you think when you look at the Boras clients, what they were touted to get, what they actually signed for, that this offseason is a failure for Boras?"
A few great points here from Bailey. Number one, I'm going to start with the fact that tip of the hat to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Listen, this is a small market team, that won 84 games last year, snuck into the playoffs with an incredibly young but very talented team, wound up shocking the baseball world and going to the World Series. And it would be so easy for them to just run it back, to pull the Blue Jays, not make a lot of big moves, say, listen, this is the team that got us there. Here, we don't want to mess with the chemistry, which really would break down to the translation of we're saving money. But they have not gone that route. They have literally bolstered every weakness that they had, going out and getting Jordan Montgomery on a one-year deal. What a move. Like, I love what the Diamondbacks have done this offseason. But to more answer Bailey's question, I think whether this year is a success or a failure for Boris's clients really is going to depend on what happens next year.
With Soto?
He's really set, because, I mean, Adam, if you look at just what these guys are making per annum, it's on par with what they should be, right? Like, they scored big deals. If you told Jordan Montgomery 2 years ago he was going to make $25 million in 2024, he probably would be very pleased with that. If you told Blake Snell 2 years ago in 2024, your salary is going to be $32 million, he's probably all right with that. The only one who's disappointed is Matt Chapman. And listen, he had one of the most historic face plants we've seen in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Same thing. AAV, you know what? 3 years, $80 million. He's pushing that $30 million a season. They all have opt-outs. Cody has an opt-out after year one and year two. Snell has an opt-out between his two-year deal. And then Matt Chapman also with opt-outs. So if they have good seasons and can opt out, and go back into the free agent market and wind up with deals that have term and look good, then no, this year's not a failure for Scott Boras. Now, did this year go down like Boras would have wanted? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And Adam, I'll let you give your opinion on this here, but in my eyes, he was trying to push flawed free agents as unflawed top market free agents. And
yeah. I mean,
the market's going to support what the market supports, right? It's economics. If there isn't the demand, you're not going to get the money in the term.
I mean, that's basically what it comes down to, right? Is the numbers are disappointing, but so were the free agents he was representing. I mean, there's no easy way to put it other than that. Like, it's.
I think a little bit of it too, and let me know what you think here. Do you think the Yamamoto deal kind of messed with the pitching market a little bit, and where Boras viewed the amount of money that Snell and Montgomery could get?
Because Yamamoto got so much?
Because he got so much, and I am aware of the age differences. I'm aware of all of these talking points everyone has brought up ad nauseum. But Blake Snell just won a Cy Young Award. Jordan Montgomery just won a World Series and pitched like the best he's ever pitched in the playoffs. Not comparatively to his playoff runs. He literally pitched the best he has ever pitched, like this playoff run, pretty much. And on top of that, if you can speak to how cautious teams might be if this Yamamoto deal in 4 years doesn't look very good.
Yeah, I don't know if the
Yamamoto, and maybe there's no correlation there. Maybe there's no correlation there, dude.
No, because it felt like the ceiling was already being set high before that deal happened. Like, all year it was, I don't think Cody Bellinger expected to make less money, and then all of a sudden Yamamoto got a big payday and he's like, oh, here we go. I don't think Montgomery was expecting more after Yamamoto signed. I think it was just a weird year. Like, I think, I don't know. It's the free agents all had warts. Like, there was no other than Shohei Ohtani. There was no
sure thing, bets.
Like, absolutely. Like, Juan Soto is a free agent next year.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to get a lot of money.
A ridiculous amount,
and
yeah.
We're going to have to, this is the stupid thing about, like, I don't know how to say this respectfully to people asking these questions, because there's no such thing as a stupid question, but it is frustrating to hear, has Boris lost his magic touch, his Midas touch? Because fucking next year, when Juan Soto signs for a fucking $500 million, we're going to hear, the narrative is going to be, is Scott Boras fucking found his magic gift again? Like, it's just,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's just
recency bias, buddy.
The players
recency
do most
bias
of the work and how much money they get.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like Scott Boras is going out and fucking finagling crazy deals that, like, he's not a wizard. He's just a guy on the side of the road being like, hey, I got some fucking real cool shit. Would you like to buy it? And it's like, either do or he's not selling magic beans. Like,
no.
You know, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Guys,
these beans are great. Sure, they walk more than most beans walk, but look. These beans won a Cy Young last year, right?
Yes, exactly. No, I don't know. It's just, okay, Bo and Vlad, because there are two guys. I don't know. Who are they represented by? Do you know?
I'm not sure they're agents.
Irrelevant.
We'll know soon enough, though, Adam. Oh,
whoever
those,
their
those
agents might
names
be.
Will be, yeah.
What Bo and Vlad do over the next 324 games will do way more for the salary they get than anything their agent could fucking charm or grease his palms to accomplish over the 3 months. Like, there's just, and that's what it comes down to. Like, Matt Chapman. Like, Boris didn't fucking screw Matt Chapman or under-deliver on Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman, like you said, fucking face-planted for 5 months last season. That's what happened to Matt Chapman in the big payday. Like, Scott Boras did nothing to do that. If anything, Scott Boras still got him paid.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's the other way to look at it. You know?
3 years... $54 million with opt-outs for a guy who literally was below league average for 5 of 6 months. That's not bad.
It's not bad. Like, Cody Bellinger, how much money did he make? Because he had
three years, $80 million with opt-outs.
So... did he have a really good season last year? Yeah, you betcha. OPS plus 133. You'll take that any day of the week. Does he have hardware at home? Sure, he does. But he also put up two pretty stinky seasons very recently. Like, he gave teams a very good reason to not want to give him term and money.
Yes.
That's not on Boris. Like, I don't know, man. It's just...
hey, and you know what? Just because Boris tried to frame it as these guys were Soto-esque, you know, like not quite that kind of spin job, but you know what I mean, right? He was very much trying to frame Cody Bellinger as Cody Bellinger of old. He did all right.
Did all right, yeah. Did all right, for sure. Like,
but... just because Scott Boras was trying to frame it as there was a $220 million 8-year contract out there somewhere, and that's what it's going to take, does not mean that that's what the market actually said was there.
So
Boris makes a lot of money on commission, guys. It is very much in his advantage to spin those tails, to use that agent wizardry. But
now, here's where I could look at Scott Boras and go, oh, he fucked his guys. If someone, let's just say Garrett Cole, I think we had an option. We had this conversation with Joel a few weeks ago, right? Garrett Cole has an opt-out after this season, and now he's injured of some sort, right? If Boras goes, don't worry, take the opt-out, we're going to get you more money in free agency this year, and then the money wasn't there. So Garrett Cole walks away from like 5 years, $150 million, which he has currently. Opts out, says, nope, Boras is going to get me 8 years at $40 million a year because that's what he promised me. And then underdelivers, then you go, oh, yeah, he fucked his guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, and that's yet to happen. That's yet
what
to
I mean.
Happen
like,
with Boras.
It's not like anybody has opted out because Boras has said, hey, the market's there. Trust me. You're going to, it's like, no, you became a free agent and he did the best he could with the numbers that you gave him to work with is kind of how I look at it. I hate being a fucking Boras apologist, but.
No, absolutely. But there is some truth to that. And just to
Juan Soto
clear
hit 60
up.
60 home runs this summer for the Yankees. Like that's going to go a long way to him getting a big fucking payday as a 26 year old.
Yes.
Or however old he is.
Now, I will talk JD Martinez really quickly here because I know it will be brought up that he was offered $14 million for 1 year from the San Francisco Giants and he turned it down and is now getting $12 million where did he sign again? JD's going to
The Mets.
The Mets, right. The Mets. Sorry.
Sorry.
JD Martinez's explanation of this really cleared up any view that Scott Boras had maybe failed him. And this could just be him having made a lot of money off Boras before and deciding to have his agents back. You know, it could be just loyalty, admirably. That, I mean, I we will give it to
him. I mean,
him
it's not
if
covering
that's the
a
case.
Guy's $4.5 million gambling debt. But.
Exactly. But $2 million, but the way JD Martinez explained it is he's like, listen, I'm 37. If I go into San Francisco, a notoriously bad park for hitters, a park where the wind
deep
coming off the
walls.
Bay, exactly. He's like, and I go into San Francisco and I hit 260 and 20 home runs. Everyone's going to say I'm washed up and I'm not going to get another deal. I'm going to get a minor league deal at best. He's like, but if I go into New York and go to Citi Field, no one has a park where guys hit a lot of bombs, and I hit 30 home runs, I'm Nelson Cruz, and I'm going to be able to re-up on another 1 year, $12 million deal, and that $12 million next year where he can re-up is going to far surpass any minor league bargain bin deal that he would need to take. So, yeah, he's taking less money, but there's some smarts involved and there's some thinking about this and there's some good reasoning behind it. Whether that's actually what happened and whether he's just having Boris's back here, I do believe there is something to be said for, you know what? It's like you said, right, Adam? The numbers go a lot further than the agent does. Big time. So if JD Martinez has 28 bombs to his name next year, he's going to get another 10 to 20 million or 10 to $12 million deal as a DH somewhere. He's just going to.
Yep. Lifetime earnings. That's what it matters, right?
Lifetime earnings.
Especially at this point in your career.
Okay. Great question, though, Bailey.
Great question. Jenny from The Rock on Twitter.
Yes.
Great username, by the way. Says, hey, guys, greetings from Newfoundland. I'm ready to get hurt again. Start paying attention to our Jays. Who Who do you guys think will be our best starter this year, our best reliever, and who will get the most home runs?
Love this question.
Best starter?
Okay. I'll start. And I, this is very unfair of me, Adam, because I'm going to take the most obvious choice here. I think our best starter, I think our best starter is going to be Kevin Gausman. Yes, he was injured and still needs to build himself up a little bit. The game he pitched in Pittsburgh, it was Bradenton, but against the Pirates, where he pitched 50 pitches, he was dominant over those four innings. I mean, his fastball was crisp. His slider was hitting its spots. His splitter was in mid-season form. It was tough not to be excited where Kevin Gausman is. And you know what? That goes a long way. That goes to show you what a 32-year-old seasoned veteran has on some of these young kids. Kevin Gausman knows his body. He knows when to ramp up. He doesn't need the long runway that some of these kids maybe need coming out of spring training. This was from, I was listening to Less Than Jays, Zoobs. I did the Danny Jansen episode with him, right? And I was listening to the Kevin Gausman episode. Buddy, these stats from last year for Kevin Gausman, so impressive. So he pitched into the seventh 13 times last year. He had 31 starts, by the way. 9 scoreless outings. So 1/3 of his times pitching, he did not allow a run. 15 times, 1 or less runs allowed. So 50% of the time. 20 times, 2 or less allowed. 25 times, 3 or less allowed. Literally 25 of 31 times he allowed 3 or less. Like 80% of the time, Kevin Gausman put the game on a platter and handed it to the Blue Jays. Now, 50% of that, the Blue Jays won. Kevin Gausman was 16-15 on the year. But that's why wins and losses don't get the same sort of eyeballs and applaud, don't get applauded like they did 20 years ago. Because Kevin Gausman was absolutely dominant last year, pitched over 180 innings, just over a 3 ERA, and led that starting rotation, right? Like he's far enough in his career where he can help some of these kids out. He can take Alek Manoah aside and be like, listen, I know how much you're struggling. I'm not saying that Kevin Gausman, nobody has helped Alek Manoah come out of it yet, but just having these seasoned veterans there for dudes like Ricky Tiedemann, for even a Yariel Rodriguez, who is brand new to Major League Baseball, has never pitched in the bigs. It goes a long way to have a guy with the sort of track record and as well respected as Kevin Gausman. Kevin Gausman is a good dude who just seems to come out on the right side of things when it comes to non-baseball stuff. You never hear Kevin Gausman's name in the news about some shitty thing he said. He's just goes out there, pitches into the seventh inning, and gets the Jays in a position to win. So I'm going with Kevin Gausman.
I like that one. Much less thorough analysis for me, but if Gausman isn't available, I mean, really my choices are Bassett and Berríos.
Yep.
Right. I'll take Berríos. I've never been a Berríos guy, but
yeah, I'm feeling good about Berríos this year. It was a career year for him.
Yep.
And he looks really good in spring again. This is after telling everyone how streamlined and focused we're going to be in 2024. This is a little bit off of the path here, but after watching Yusei Kikuchi pitch to a 12 ERA in spring, are you nervous?
No. I don't really care about spring numbers, yeah, like at all. It's, guys are just working it out. So
yeah.
No, that's zero concern. I also expectations for him are so low. But, like, I just don't care.
If Yusei Kikuchi gives us 150 innings and a 4 ERA, like, a huge success. I'm such a win. Yeah.
I'm with you there. Okay. Relievers, then, in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm. You want to take the lead?
I get to go first.
You get to go first.
I think Chad Green's going to have a big year.
You took my guy.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, I think... Oh, I like Romano, but I think by the end of the year, I'm talking like in August, September, I think Chad Green might be closing games for us.
Yeah, I can really see that as well. I don't think he'll displace Romano as the go-to guy, but I do think we will start seeing him getting opportunities based on matchups and their each pitcher's strengths and how they play against the hitter in that situation.
I don't know how Chad Green does with runners on base. I know Romano does not do well. For me, I don't know. For me, that's... I got to see how Chad Green handles inheriting runners.
Yes.
Because that's the biggest knock against Jordan Romano right now is just... I don't even want to see him in the game. If
it's not a clean inning, it's nerve-wracking. Clean inning,
don't even bother. Like, I bring in Tim Mesa. I'd rather see that. Like, I just don't want to. I just don't want anything to do with it. And that's my only knock against him as a closer. Like, when you talk best closers in baseball, and Romano, is he a top five guy? Is he not? Just my one concern of like, I just don't trust him. I don't trust him at all. So
I am going to take Jordan Romano, being you took Chad Green. And it's just, you know what? The Markham Madman has a track record, dude. Mm-hmm. He's saved 30 plus games for 3 years in a row now. He has established himself as one of the elite closers in baseball. He's a top 10 guy without a doubt. And I think there's a good argument to be made that he's a top five guy. And the reason that he's not, the reason you could argue him out of the top five is just what we discussed. That when there's runners on, it's a little sketchy. But if you bring him out in the ninth to a clean inning, Jordan Romano is as deadly as anyone out there. Health is going to be a concern. I know he's starting the year on the IL, and hopefully this is just a real slight blip on the radar, and we forget about this come June. It needs to be brought up that he missed the first week and a half of the season. We're like, oh yeah, I forgot that Hennessy Cabrera was saving games for us in April. But I think that Romano has been there, done that. He's established in the clubhouse. The bullpen guys love him, right? Like, the relievers love him. He's kind of the leader and guy back there. Him and Mesa are the dudes that guys go to. Yeah. Gonna take Jordan Romano on that one. But I love the Chad Green pick, and he was going to be my guy if you took Romano.
There you go. I love our bullpen this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So do I.
Yeah, I think it's
I just brought him up, but Cabrera, I mean, if he can continue to hit his spots, dude, he is such a talent. Mm-hmm. He is so deadly from the left-hand side. I mean, his slider is disgusting. He hits 98. I know Tim Mesa is our go-to guy from the left side and has been, and has never got his flowers over the last few years. He's really been a stud at the back end of the bullpen for this Blue Jays team. But to have a second lefty that I honestly believe can be as effective, if not more, in high leverage situations, I'm really excited about Cabrera this year. And again, like if he doesn't hit his spots, we're fucked. We watched the Cardinals literally give him away. The Blue Jays picked him up on waivers and threw them a low ranked A prospect for him at the end of the day. But if he's hitting his spots, we've watched it. We've seen it firsthand as Jays fans. Yenesis Cabrera. Going to be fun to watch.
Depth chart in the bullpen. Looks like our opening day roster is set. Nate Pearson did make the team.
Yes, because Eric
Because,
Swanson and Jordan Romano are, yeah.
right. Fuck, I hope he works out, man. I don't know what else to say. I just
Yeah.
fucking I want him to be
Nate
good.
Pearson. Yeah.
All right, who leads the team in home runs this year, Scott?
Hate to be that guy, but I think it's Vladdy. I think Vladdy returns to what we saw in 2022. I think he's going to, I don't know if he breaks 40 home runs this year, but I do think that he is right around that 35 to 40 mark. And I think there will be parts of this season where we're doing the math and we're like, he's going to hit 40. I don't know if he does, but I think he's going to be substantially better than 26. So my guess is 36. That's what I'm going to put Vladdy at this year. And I think he leads the team in home runs. I also think we're going to see substantially more dingers out of this lineup. I think we see George Springer break 30 again this year. I think Bo Bichette for the first time breaks 30 this year. I think we're going to see Justin Turner break 20. I think we're going to see Daniel Vogelbach break 15 off the bench. You know, like there's just a lot of opportunity here for this team to truly increase their home run total. If Dalton Varsho can get the ball up a little more, I think he can do better than the 20 home runs he hit last year. Hopefully, a return to 2022 when he hit 27 and push 30. Where are you at? Who leads this team, buddy?
Well, as friend of the show, Hey Commie, loves to say, Bo Bichette's just been better than Vlad offensively, I think, every year of their careers except for the first year.
2021, yeah.
Or was it 2021? Yeah, Vladdy's
Outside of Vladdy
MVP
finishing
runner-up
second in
season.
MP poll MVP votes, yeah.
I think, I really hope I'm wrong about this, but I think Vlad continues to trend down, and I think
Oh.
Bo continues to trend up. I think Bo hits, breaks the 30 home run mark, like you said. I think he pushes like 35, maybe more.
Wow.
And I think Vlad's like 29.
Okay. That's fair.
I think Bo is gonna rise to the occasion. He's got free agency right around the corner, and I think he's just gonna go for it. Like that's
MVP Bo.
I think the thing with Bo is leading the league in hits is really cool because he's done that, what, three of the last four seasons? Something like that.
Well, two of the last three, and last year he probably would
Missed
have led the
time.
league in hits had he not missed 3 weeks. Yeah.
Thank you for that. But I think that home runs get the dollars.
Yes.
And I think that's going to be a factor in his mind. He's got, I think he's got the power to do it. I mean, he hit 29
Twenty,
2021.
I think so, yeah.
Anyways, I think he's trying to hit it a little harder this year. I think he's going for it. I think if he has a 35 home run season going into free agency, I think it really puts him on that upper echelon of free agent shortstops two seasons from now. Like, I think that's what he needs to do to go from being a like $250 million shortstop to a $350 million shortstop. I think he takes another step forward defensively. He's getting older, getting stronger, all of that stuff. I think the errors come down. I think defensively he's as good as we've ever seen him, because last year he was, what did we say, an average defensive shortstop?
Yeah, he was an average major league shortstop.
I think he should have been in the Gold Glove conversation above Anthony Volpe of the Yankees.
Yeah.
I don't think he should have won a Gold Glove last year, but no. I think he should have been nominated. I think this year he's fucking fantastic. I think he's as good of a fucking short. I just think Bo Bichette, we're going to fucking lose him in free agency, for one. And I think that by the time his career is over, he goes down as like one of the best shortstops of this generation. Mm-hmm. And he's doing it on another team. And I think that's going to fucking really suck. So I really want to enjoy this season, because I don't think next season he's going to be a Blue Jay.
It would suck. I don't know if I'm on the same page. I do think that this, depending on how this season goes, but I do think there is a world where if this season goes well and they go deep into the playoffs, even a division series, I still don't think I really do think that it's ALCS or bust, in my opinion, at this point, but I'll take a division series, them getting past the wild card. Probably saves Ross Atkins' job. I mean, the truth is, if they even make the playoffs, it probably saves Ross Atkins' job. We've seen, if history shows us anything. Mm-hmm. So I do think there is a world where they make the playoffs and their big splash this offseason is signing Vlad or Bo. And I think that if it does line up the way you're predicting, where Vlad is good, but Bo is incredible, that they could wind up seeing an extension for Bo. I mean, this front office has never shown us that they will invest long-term dollars in homegrown talent yet. That's one thing that this front office hasn't done. They've shown us they'll spend. They've shown us that they'll make big trades, whether we like them or not. They will do them. They've shown us that they do have some draft acumen. You know, we've seen some guys that they've picked that have, Ricky Tiedemann hasn't turned out quite yet, but it's looking good. But yeah, they definitely haven't showed us that they will sign a guy to 10 years that they've developed. So that is still on the table, but I do think that Bo is the guy if they are going to go that route. And while Soto's getting all this money and all these guys are getting all this money, I think there is a world where they're like, okay, let's pay our guy. And I hope that that's the case. Yes or no answer here. And Grounds crew, please get in on this. Shoot us your comments here, and we'll tackle this again next mailbag. Bo Bichette. And this is just yes or no.
Yes.
30 home runs, 300 average.
Yeah.
Love it. Me too. Grounds crew, let us know.
Bo Bichette, really good at playing baseball, turns out.
Yeah. Better than his dad.
Better than his dad.
Finally, we have a guy on the Jays who's better than their dad, eh?
Yeah. Kevin Biggio, over or under 15 home runs?
Over. You?
Yeah. What did he hit last year for home runs?
It was over 10. He had double digits.
Last season, hit. He got 46 on his career. Last season, he hit. No, he hit 9 home runs last season.
9. Okay. Never mind.
I think all of them came in August.
Yeah, that's maybe why I was like,
I think he had a good little run in August, and I think during that run he also hit some like upper deck foul balls,
right?
Like some hits that we just really got. Oh, Gavin,
yeah,
it was foul, and then grounded out or what. Yeah, I don't know. Gavin Biggio, playing time's going to be a thing with him. I don't know. I think he just is what he is. And,
yeah.
But I still like Gavin. I don't think he's a bust. I'm glad of the Espinal Biggio trio. I'm glad Biggio's still a Blue Jay. Okay, next question. We've got Josh from Patreon. Do you guys believe in Vladdy's spring numbers? Obviously not the 463 average, but the consistency over 40 plus at bats.
I'm expecting a big year from Vlad. I know that you've kind of taken the other side of this already. And it's funny because I say take the other side and you're still predicting 29 home runs and he looks pretty good. But yeah, I definitely think that this is the year where Vladdy corrects what we saw from last year. I don't know if Vladdy is or ever will be the 2021 version that we saw. I mean, that was a pretty darn high ceiling, hitting 48 bombs and over 300 and, you know, over 100 RBIs. And, you know, he was just such a force. I don't know if we ever see that again. I hope we do. But I really do see a world where him hitting 300 this season and 35 home runs and 110 RBIs and is constantly in that number two or three hole and is just really looks like he's recovered, you know, from whatever plagued him last year. I do believe. Yes, I do. Am I being a bit of a homer here and have always loved Vladdy? Guilty.
I fucking want to love Vladdy. I fucking love Vladdy so much I just want to love him. Cheering for him in the home run derby was last year. Was
awesome.
Fun.
Yeah.
A couple years ago when it was him versus Pete Alonso in the finals and he lost to Pete Alonso was amazing. Like that.
Yeah.
Just the fucking triple overtime of it all was like insane.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a 300 batting average in him. He did it his MVP runner-up season. Otherwise, it's been like 275 or lower every other season. I think if we get like a 270 out of Vlad, I think that I'll be like happy with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. See him in spring training. I see the fucking clips of him swinging a bat and he's looking leaner and more aggressive than ever and all these things. And I just fucking, I don't want to get Nate Pearson by Vladdy too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
I just, when I see it, I'll buy in, but I've got to see a really good April and May before I'm back on the Vladdy like believer train. Like,
yes.
Not rooting against Vladdy or nothing.
Nope.
If we give Vladdy fucking big money midseason, I'll reluctantly be like, all right, he's our guy for the next 10 years. I still think I'd rather Bo. But if Vlad's a lifetime Blue Jay, I'll be happy. I don't think 300's happening. Vladdy, I just want him to be fucking good, man. I just want him to be good. I think Bo is going to be good again this year. Like, I feel like Bo is going to be MVP conversation Bo. And I fucking want that out of Vlad. I just don't think it's going to happen. All right. Kind of talked the bullpen from Jenny's question, but there was some more bullpen conversation in Discord. So Sentimental Hygiene had a post about Swanson and Romano starting the year on the IL. So Pearson and Rodriguez likely to make the roster, which I think now has been, we just said, secured. Did Rodriguez make the roster?
I didn't see if he did or not. Are you looking that up right now? Yordan Rodriguez is an interesting guy because this is the 1 year of this 5 year contract they signed with him that they can send him down. Otherwise, it's a big league contract. And if they send him down, he's obviously open on the waiver wire. So if they wish to give him a legitimate shot at starting, which I think that is where they would like to project him, being starting pitching is so valuable. His
Yeah.
deal definitely, if he's a good bullpen arm, his deal is still very fair, by the way. And I think that that's where they see the bottom, the floor for Yariel is as a reliever and a very efficient one. So are they going to try and stretch him out? Did you find the answer, or are they keeping him?
Well, all I have is a Keegan Mathison article from yesterday. Titled Blue Jays opening day roster nearly set.
Right, okay.
It has Zach Pop as the eighth bullpen arm, with Yariel Rodriguez being stretched out in AAA. So, yeah, likely taking the could be a starter for us approach with Rodriguez. So yeah, I think that's probably what they're gonna do.
The thing with this contract is if you are going to develop him into a starter, the window is short, right? So all of the stuff that they need to do to get Yariel right, to get his pitches to where they want it to be, to get him confident in mixing his stuff up and having a good basic understanding of what the organization wants of him, th this is it, 2024. And so, yeah. Maybe we do wind up sacrificing a little bit in this first 3 months or whatever of the season. I think Ross Atkins is at the point where he would rather bring Ricky Tiedemann up to pitch some bullpen innings once they've manipulated his service time enough to gain that extra year of our to lose that extra year of arbitration than. I think it's more likely we see Ricky Tiedemann in that role than we do see Yariel Rodriguez as they continue to try to get him ready to start games.
You think Tiedemann comes up as a bullpen arm, not as a starter?
Depending on where he's at. So Ricky Tiedemann didn't get a lot of innings last year because he was injured. We watched what happened with Alek Manoah when he had such a huge jump, right? 2022, Manoah had pitched 200 innings. The year before, 110. It was almost a full 100% increase, which is something you rarely see major league organizations do. And I still truly believe that that's one of the biggest reasons why Manoah had the fall from grace he had, is his arm was overworked. And the only way to reset an arm is to shut it down completely. And the Blue Jays just didn't do that last year. And so this offseason, hopefully we see Manoah somewhat return to form, even if he's just a number five guy pitching to a 4.5 ERA. I'll take that out of Alek Manoah at this point. But they're going to be very cautious with Ricky Tiedemann. I think even from an organizational standpoint, Alek Manoah was a bit of a learning experience and a lesson on what to do with your young arms. So yes, if Ricky Tiedemann starts in Buffalo, let's say he pitches 60 innings, and that's over, let's say April and May. Let's say he gets called up mid-June and he's at 60 to 70 innings. I think the smartest thing for them to do is take the Aaron Sanchez approach that they did in 2015 with Sanchez, put him in the bullpen, let him be that high leverage reliever at the back end who hits 98, hits 99, comes in for an inning or two and dominates. And then that way you fill out his 100 innings because last year, again, you're going to need to build this kid up. And then you can take the reins off a little bit in 2025, let him get his 150 innings, be that dude, you know? Yeah, I think Ricky Tiedemann is, if not right away, he may make some starts for the Blue Jays. But I think he does wind up in the pen by the end of the year, just as they manage his innings. But time will tell, man. Who knows?
Interesting to see how it all plays out. excited for the season to start. We're one day away. So let me end you with this.
All right.
4 in Tampa Bay, 3 in Houston, 3 against the Yankees in New York before coming home to open the season in Toronto against the Mariners. So just looking at those first 10 games of the season, Rays, Astros, Yankees.
Give me 5 for 5. Give me five wins. Five, I'm happy if they come out of this road trip.
Season, man.
Tough start, man. Tough teams, very good pitching. Every team is going to have their best pitching lined up too. Like, you're going to face all of their aces, just the way it works out. So, luckily, the Yankees' ace is on the IL currently. So, we don't need to deal with Gerrit Cole, who has the Blue Jays' number. So, that's good news. But, yeah, facing some tough pitching.
I think 5 and 5 is probably right. 5 and 5 feels right.
If you go 5 for 5 and you come home to Toronto for that 10-game homestand, you're really setting yourself up for a decent little April if you do it right.
We do not play the Orioles until middle of May.
Yeah.
Orioles start their season with, is this ever fucking gross? Oh my God. We're going to fucking start 5 and 5 and the Orioles start against the Angels, the Royals, the Pirates, the Red Sox. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
And then they got the Brewers, the Twins, the Royals again, Angels again, Oakland.
Oh my God.
They play New York. That's the first, like, I don't want to say real challenge because, like, you can't take anybody lightly or whatever, right? Milwaukee ain't that bad. The Twins could be feisty again, whatever.
The Pirates could be better. The Royals could be better.
There's always that. But, like, Oakland, the Angels for a bunch. Oh, man.
They could start like the Rays did last year, dude.
That's what I mean.
The schedule's set up. Like,
we're going to start with a tough – we're going to be fucking – 10 games behind them 2 weeks into the season.
Yeah.
My fucking God. Damn it. All right.
Yep.
5 and 5 to start the season. I think we'll take it.
Grounds crew, let us know. What makes you happy on this 10-game road trip before the Jays finally get home for the home opener on April 8th? 10 games against very difficult teams in the Rays, the Astros, and the Yankees. Again, all of their top pitching lined up at the top of their orders. What is a successful start to the season in your mind? What would you like to see? What is your prediction? I mean, buddy, if they can pull off a 6 for 6 wins out of this, like, but yeah. I will take a 500 start to this season with the teams
with
that they are facing off the top. Yeah. All right, let's end it there. Thank you so much, everybody, for following along. We do appreciate it. Obviously, you can always reach out to us. The interaction is much appreciated. You can do so by shooting us a DM on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast. You can join the Patreon. That is always appreciated, of course, for $4 a month. You get instant access to the Discord, instant access to all of our interviews. And as well as that, you get bonus content, MLB Mondays every single Monday, and you have access to our writing room every Wednesday and the show that we are putting together. On that, we'll see you all Friday, where we're going to be discussing real baseball. Very exciting stuff. We'll break down the the season opener and get into what's happened around Major League Baseball. Looking forward to it.